from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before we dish the rock over to the Infinity Sports Network. Number to call the show, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Big thank you to Kevin Sheehan joining us in the last segment, talking all things burgundy and gold. We will continue our conversation on the Washington Commanders right now, as well as getting to a little bit of college football before our pal Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joins the program. But hearing Kevin Sheehan honestly gave me a little bit of a different perspective on Brandon Ayuk. I am a guy that on this topic, I felt as if I'm not hard-pressed one way or another. If they don't acquire him, I'm not going to go, oh, Adam Peters and company, you suck. Why don't you want to help our young quarterback? But if they do, I'm not going to complain about it either, because I think it's pretty clear and obvious the benefits he could have to this football team. But Kevin Sheehan mentioned a second and a fourth. He mentioned Jahan in a fourth, both of which isn't a bad return. Both of which isn't, to me, too much. I continue to believe that because Ayuk has no leverage, and Kevin thinks that Ayuk does have leverage, I don't agree with that. Because of the leverage play, I thought he'd go for a one. I thought he'd command a one. Maybe not multiple ones, but at least a one. And that I'm not willing to part ways with at all, under any set of circumstances. So we'll see ultimately what he gets dealt for. I continue to say it. If I was a betting man the way Kevin Sheehan is, and we know he is a betting man, I would err on the side of Ayuk stays in San Francisco. As we all continue to echo, they are on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. You don't give away premier talent for draft capital that isn't going to help you immediately and trade away the guy that was a big focal point of your offense last year. We continue to take your calls on this. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Do you think the Washington Commanders should trade for Brandon Ayuk? And if they don't, are you confident in what they have at wideout heading into training camp? My guy, Matt in Stafford. Long time no speak, my brother. How you feeling?
Hey, Linnell. Great show.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely. I would like to see what Jahan can do with Jaden Daniels and Terry and Jahan together. But, Ayuk for a future second rounder, absolutely, I would do that. I just also want to mention real quick, if I can, with the last thing you were mentioning with Kevin Sheehan, talking about Commanders defense.
For sure.
Say again, I'm sorry.
I said for sure.
Oh, right. Okay, thank you. So, I'm doing some fantasy football research, getting into that now. It's kind of like the season starting up.
For sure.
And I see that Commanders are the number one defense. So, the people out there, there's some smart people out there that think the Commanders defense is ready to create a lot of turnovers. And, not to get off topic.
No, I got you. That's a hell of a nugget. That's a hell of a nugget you're bringing to the show.
If I may say one other thing, I would put some thought to bringing a local kid, Trace McSorley, into the team being that he can run the same style of offense that Jaden's going to be running, that wouldn't be a bad person to just have on the roster and have to be coming into camp.
Trace is interesting, Matt, because I think Trace worked with Cliff in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is really, I think we're on to something here, Linnell.
I'm feeling it too,
just
Matt.
Came to me. But, Ayuk, definitely not getting rid of Terry. I mean, I think that's the one guy that you just got to, I mean, sign him long term right now.
do what the hell you got to do, bro. I feel it.
Make a statement, hey, this is the captain. And
I'm excited to see Terry in a situation where he's actually got a competent quarterback. We know how difficult the past couple of years have been for us as fans watching the offense. Imagine having to show up every damn day. I know the check's nice, but have to realize that you're relying on Heinicke and Wentz and retread after retread after retread.
And they'll be building that chemistry. And think about Jahan. You think about Curtis Samuel. Anytime that he was out on the field, it cut into all those targets, all those opportunities. If you target Jahan, you're going to see the production that's going to come back, and then he'll be able to get into his rhythm. He went where he went for a reason. He's a lethal weapon. So, I'm thinking, but Ayuk, you can't have too many good play receivers. We're seeing that, with the way that the league is. But like you were saying, this offense, it's going to be what's the
Matt. Exotic smash mouth football. I'm telling you,
this is going to be exotic smash mouth. I think we should just bring Scott McLuhan back just to hang around with Adam Peters.
Just to get the vibes
they're
going.
They're going to love this style. Ben Sennott, as the Juszczyk buddy, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And Jaden Daniels, hey, I said when he got drafted, this team is going to win some games. They're going to win the division, but they're going to win some playoff games.
Wow, Matt, you're feeling
really
a playoff
dangerous.
Win. Matt, if they win a playoff game, and I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility, because I happen to think I'm probably the most optimistic in terms of everyone here locally about what they can be. I'm tired of pissing years down the drain. I don't care. Year one is supposed to be about the development of Jaden Daniels. The hell with that. Year one's about winning. Learn how to win in year one, so you can be a perennial playoff contender for years to come, Matt. I appreciate the call, as always, my brother. Appreciate you checking in. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll probably wrap up our discussion on the Washington Commanders right there. Look, all in all, I'm excited for them to get in here. Starting next week, I don't think Brandon Ayuk will be here, but I think what they've got in house is plenty. Max, we haven't brought you in on this. Would you make the move for Brandon Ayuk? And if they don't, is Washington screwed at wide receiver?
No, I don't think we're screwed by any means. But Sheehan brought something up. My face kind of lit up when he said it, because it's something I've been thinking about for a while. I think because they first had talks about Ayuk a couple weeks ago, according to Schefter. My theory, this is just me talking here, I think that the Niners came back and were like, hey, how about Terry? And Washington said, no, no way, absolutely not. No, 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 no. So I think the package that would work would be Jahan Dotson and a second. Now, I would like it to be De'Ami Brown instead of Jahan Dotson, but that's not going to happen. I think it's probably going to end up being Jahan. If we trade.
I don't think we need to.
I agree. I don't think we need to.
I think it would help, obviously. But I don't think it's...
I think you were right a couple weeks ago. They want to see what they've got in camp.
Correct.
Before they make this move. And I think they'll evaluate in a week or two. Because I don't see this situation changing much in a week or two.
No.
They don't seem too keen to...
Unless someone stands out or the worst case scenario, a major injury happens.
Which would be a real shame.
Devastating.
Yes. But I think it's not going to kill us by any means. I like what we have so far. I'm willing to go into the season with what we've got and see what we have.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, not the only disgruntled wide receiver right now around the National Football League. I talked about this over the weekend, and we mentioned it either in last segment or the top of this segment. Davante Adams, first of all, this receiver documentary on Netflix, I think it's great. I think the NFL is geniuses, and they understand that people care about their product. The NBA is mimicking it. I don't know if you're familiar. Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, it's going to be massive, and Anthony Edwards is supposed to be the star of it. They're going to do their own version of quarterback or receiver with the NBA stars, but I was talking about this over the weekend. We've seen quarterback, right? The most important position in all of pro sports, in my opinion. We've seen receiver, a position that I don't think people understand the dirty work that goes into it because of all the glitz and glam that surrounds it. But you know who I want to see featured next? As a former college defensive lineman and former high school offensive lineman, there is something about being a lineman that people just don't understand all that goes into it.
It's a culture.
Damn it, Max. It's a culture. Yes, it is. It's like in a locker room, they're a fraternity. It's usually the closest knit group on the team. And then across the National Football League, it is a fraternity. That's why I think D-line's the same way. Why do you think the two big camps that happen are the O-line mastermind and then Von Miller's sack summit? Those are the guys that want to get together and get better with each other. I think that group being featured on Hard Knocks, or not Hard Knocks, damn it, the Netflix documentary. Honestly, too, I think people don't understand. People are all like geeked up about, oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown's playing through hand, foot, and mouth disease. No big deal. Davante Adams has an AC joint sprain and took a shot and came back. Do you know the injuries that offensive linemen and defensive linemen play through? Torn meniscus. ACL in some cases.
Like constantly jammed hands.
Come on. You see Brian Baldinger. I know you're probably better off if you don't see Brian Baldinger because of the way his nasty-ass fingers look. But, I mean, it just, you can't overstate the toughness and the grind that is being an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman in the National Football League. So if I had it my way, if it was the Burger King of sports documentaries, I would choose offensive lineman to defensive lineman next in terms of who should be featured. But Davante Adams, I said it over the weekend, coming in to this receiver doc, my favorite wideout that was featured was Justin Jefferson. I think he just likes to have fun. Watching it, love Justin Jefferson still. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is the guy for me that I'm like, you know what? Everything about the Detroit Lions makes sense. He is quite literally a representation, a 5'9 representation of the Detroit Lions. He is. Like, that group is tough as nails, uber competitors, and they all take the character of Amon-Ra. They featured him. They're in a game that they're losing, and clearly you want to just run the clock out and go home. He wants to or throw the ball around to get back in the game, rather. He wanted to run the ball just so he can go hit somebody. I said, Amon-Ra, that's... In my day and age, back in high school and college, talking football players, we call that a crash dummy. He just wants to hit. He's like a bull in a china shop. I love it. And that Lions team plays with that grit, that tenacity, and that intensity. Speaking of playing with grit, the Ohio State Buckeyes better show some grit, or next year, maybe it for Ryan Day. Huh? Yeah, I said it. Do or die for the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll take a look at some of the top storylines in college football coming up next here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight before we dish things over to the Infinity Sports Network. We've talked NBA Summer League. We've talked Washington Commanders. We'll talk a little bit of college football before we get out of here. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, about Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network set to join us to talk all things college football. We're about 39, 40 days away from the first game of the college football season that honestly could have some ACC championship implications. Georgia Tech, Florida State from out in Dublin set to kick off our college football season. I'm super excited about what this college football season can mean. It feels like when you look at things big picture, when it comes to this year in college football, it is going to be one of the most exciting years of recent memory for a bevy of different reasons. Reason number one, though, I think this expanded college football playoff is going to shake up the college landscape in a way that we, quite frankly, haven't seen before. So, I really think this is a group that, in terms of the college football season, I think this is a season where there are going to be a ton of surprises. And it feels like one of these group of five schools is going to sneak in and upset someone and ruin someone's year. I really think that's how it's going to go. I don't know which one it'll be, whether it's Memphis, whether it's Liberty. I just think someone's going to do it. Now, in terms of who's got the best chance to do it, I just mentioned a couple of schools. I even look at our local guys, JMU. Can JMU get in? New quarterback, new wide receiver core, new D-line. Can this group get in? But I think when we get down to the nitty-gritty, this college football season, all eyes are going to be out in Columbus. I think Ryan Day, first of all, this is the best team that Ryan Day has had since being in Columbus. I think their big question mark is, do they need championship-level quarterback play to win the title? Is Travion Henderson and Judkins going to be enough as a running back duo to run their way to the college football playoff? That's the big question here. If you are Ohio State, I've gone on the record multiple times already and said it. After Will Howard lost his job last year, you think he's going to be able to take a step up in competition and play better? I'm telling you, Julian Sain. Remember the name, ladies and gentlemen. I think Julian Sain is going to start games this year for Ohio State. I do. And I think he's going to look damn good doing it. The Buckeyes the Buckeyes are, is this the year? I think it is. I think it is the year they get over the hump. And I think Ryan Day is going to have to make a big-time decision at quarterback. Similarly, and tell me if you agree with this, Max, similarly to the decision that Coach Harbaugh had to make going to J.J. McCarthy a couple of years ago in terms of going to saying, there's no way Will Howard is the guy. If they're a quarterback away, I don't think Will Howard is good enough to have this immense pressure on his shoulders, at least from Saiyan's perspective as a young cat. If I don't get it done this year, I'll probably be the guy for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think Day is, I think he's wearing out his welcome in Ohio State.
Slowly but surely, tongue twister.
But see, that's the thing. You got Harbaugh was the boogeyman for so long.
Right.
Now he's gone. Yeah, now he's
gone.
Like, if he doesn't do it this year, like, as far as I'm concerned, bye-bye.
Wow. Yeah, they got to beat Michigan.
Got to beat your rival.
That's one thing they've yet to do under Ryan Day. They have yet to beat Michigan. I don't know if this is the year that it happens. I would think that it's the year that it happens, but who knows? Who knows?
To Ryan Day, you better be praying it happens.
Well, because it's now or never. It's now or never. I wonder, we know they're loaded on both sides of the football, offense, defense. My big question is quarterback. Will Howard be good enough? Point blank. Because I know what we're going to get out of Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. Like, I know what they're going to bring to the table. How many times is Will Howard going to have to throw the football? 15, 16 times a game? Because I can really see them just lining up and mauling people. But when you've got the stars that they have at receiver, lends yourself to throwing the football a little bit more. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out. One of my top storylines going into next year is whether or not Ohio State is going to be able to get over the hump. We talked about this last night. And maybe I'm speaking in hyperbole because folks don't look at this guy the way that I do. I think Jalen Milroe is one of the best athletes in college football, point blank, period. With Kalen DeBoer taking over at Alabama, we know what he was able to do for Michael Penix at Washington. How much better will Jalen Milroe be? Because there are some folks that don't think he can hit the wide side of a barn. Accuracy is all over the place. Doesn't throw with good touch or anticipation. How much can they get him coached up? Because if Jalen Milroe can be a little bit better, I'm not saying Michael Penix Jr. level, because that's Heisman, then Alabama's going to be right in the thick of the conversation. They're good on defense. This receiving core that they're bringing back is one of their best receiving cores here in recent memory. It's going to be a good Alabama football team. The quarterback position, though, is going to determine whether or not they're good or not. Their offensive line also was a big problem spot for them a year ago. They got to get better in that aspect of their game. This is from yesterday, real quick, Max, if you could pull it. It's Paul Feinbaum going absolutely crazy about Shedeur Sanders in Colorado and whether or not they were going to be relevant this year in college football. I don't know how much better Coach Prime and company will be, but I know for sure that they're going to win more than four games. In a weaker Big 12, dare I say, 8 or 9 wins for Coach Prime in Colorado this year? Best case scenario for that group, if it happens, you thought Boulder was lit last year. You thought Boulder was on fire a season ago after they beat TCU and they started off as hot as they did. Whew. If they come out, they could be 5-0 going into a big-time game against Kansas State in early October. Whew. If that's the case, then... What are we going to say about Coach Prime and Dion? What are we going to say about Coach Prime in Colorado? My other big question, because last year Shedeur was like the second most sacked quarterback in all of college football. With their revamped and improved offensive line, how much better can he be at the quarterback position? It's the big question. That's the big question going into next year. We'll continue to talk all things college football coming up on the other side of this break. One of my absolute favorites talking all things college football, our pal Ryan Fowler of Bleacher Report and the Draft Network, set to join us next. One thing that I want to ask Ryan is something that we were just talking about. Coach Prime in Colorado, crap or get out of the pot? Because it feels like the entire country at this point is rooting against him. Can Shador bounce back? We'll ask Ryan Fowler that next here on The Fan. You're tapped in to the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham out of Washington, D.C., talking all things college football as we get geared up for a massive, massive college football season that's littered with change from coaches, heavy activity in the transfer portal, and now a 12-team college football playoff. I cannot wait. It is going to make every regular season game count that much more, knowing that there's going to be a couple of Cinderella teams this year that get in that we don't necessarily expect to see as we sit here right now. To continue to talk all things college football, we go out to the guest hotline. We find my pal Ryan Fowler, NFL and college football analyst for Bleacher Report, as well as the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at _RyanFowler_. Ryan, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Linnell, how you doing, man? Always appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed, my man. We were going through some of the top storylines in college football as we get geared up here for this upcoming season. So we got a lot to cover here in a little bit of time. The first thing I want to ask you is sort of a big picture question here. In terms of the landscape of college football, we saw a couple of coaches, one, Nick Saban, retire, and two, Harbaugh go to the pros. How do you think the transfer portal and NIL is impacting college coaches and their desire to do the job, quite frankly, Ryan?
Look, this transfer portal, it seems like every single year, Linnell, when we look at this thing, it's just taking over not just football, but college sports as a whole. And really, it's even put this humongous shadow over a lot of the recruiting classes now that the teams in the past worked so darn hard for to get these three, four, right, five stars in the building, to where these guys go overlooked, to where now you're just looking at a guy like Caleb Downs going from Bama to Ohio State, and Dylan Gabriel going now to Oregon to lead the charges up there in the Pacific Northwest. NIL is just an unbelievable, just how it's really progressed here these last, I would say, 2-3 years specifically, to where, yeah, the concentration of talent, I don't want to say it's as concentrated as you kind of see in sometimes with basketball or even what's happened sometimes in baseball, specifically with the talent in the SEC. Talent is spread out. But what I like so much about this NIL opportunities as well is when I look at players like Luther Burden at Missouri, a kid from St. Louis, five-star, right, had every opportunity to go elsewhere this offseason and stayed there. Or you look out at Arizona with quarterback Noah Fifita, wide receiver Tatora McMillan, that's going to be, yeah, probably a top 15 pick in the upcoming class. I think as much as we talk about the portal and guys bouncing from places to places and coaches having to rely on a lot of these NIL sponsors and volunteers to come in and donate to help facilitate rosters at the end of the day, you look at these players and the opportunities to almost concentrate talent, which is just really kind of puts these super teams almost together sometimes, yeah, to where you're going to have now 12 teams in the college football playoff, where these just any day, like we know, Linnell, anybody can beat anybody. And I, right, think NIL has added this little layer to college football as a whole that's just really fun to keep an eye on every single year because guys are just bouncing from spot to spot.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think it makes you have to be even better as a high school recruit to get noticed during your freshman season based on the portal and all these NIL deals that are being thrown around to get guys to leave. You mentioned the Oregon Ducks. We had a caller a few moments ago before you joined us that was on my ass, Ryan, about how I'm not giving Oregon enough love. Now, Dylan Gabriel obviously comes over, and the thought process is he's going to pick up where Bo Nix left off last year, and this Oregon offense should continue to be one of the tops in the country. My big question is in the trenches, and not on the offensive side of the football, because we know they got two bookend tackles. But when you look at this Oregon defense, do they have enough to compete in their conference?
Yeah, I'll say this. I'm right there with you. Now, I think offensively they are going to score points. I think Dylan Gabriel, just like Bo Nix was when he came in from Auburn, is going to be that mature signal caller. And the pairing of guys like Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson is going to be really fun to watch. But defensively, you know, you lose guys like Evan Williams and you lose guys like Brandon Dorlis. Now, I will say this, and that one of my favorite players in this upcoming class already, Linnell, I'm going to talk a lot about, and I know we'll talk about him here in the future, is Jabbar Muhammad coming over from Washington at the corner spot, who's absolutely sensational. But they have a lot of new faces and a lot of new spots with transfers, Derek Harmon, Jamari Caldwell up front, Kobe Savage coming in as a transfer as well as a free safety spot, along with Jabbar in the secondary. When you have a lot of new faces and a lot of new places, and sometimes we know defense can pick it up faster than the offensive side of the ball just from a complication perspective and just allow athletes to fly around. And Dan Lanning's going to get them flying around, of course. But at the end of the day, when you just have so many new pieces, I think it may take a couple of weeks or a month or two
for sure
to really see the ceiling of this Oregon Ducks defense.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. A lot of new faces, particularly in that secondary, but I don't think it's a lack of talent. As you mentioned, it just is going to be about continuity and how quickly they're able to hit the ground running on that side of the football. The one team, Ryan, that I immediately look at when I think about who this 12-team playoff benefits the most, I go right up to Happy Valley, not too far up the road, and think about James Franklin. And can this be the year that Penn State is able to break through? They've never been higher than number 7 in the final 8P top 25 poll under James Franklin, and they've never qualified for the college football playoff. Does that change this year? If it does, why?
I'll say this. I think it starts with Drew Aller, and I know that is an easy thing to say, but for me, I think within the whole industry, Linnell, I'm very high on Drew Aller and what he can be if everything comes to fruition. Now, of course, potential is a very scary word, and it can get coaches fired at the college level and the NFL level. But who this kid is, that's a former 5-star, a guy that lives inside the pocket, to where he had a lot of flashes last year. I specifically think about that West Virginia game where his arm talent, I'm not sure fundamentally, Linnell, there is a more talented quarterback fundamentally in the country. And I really do like Sanders. I really do like Milroe and Carson Beck. But Drew Aller is a very, very talented kid under center. And I think if they are to qualify for the CFP, if they are to raise expectations more so than just handing off the ball to guys like Nick Singleton and Katron Allen, it's going to be because of a guy like Drew Aller targeting some of these new faces on the outside, specifically headlined by Ohio State transfer and Julian Fleming.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that tandem ends up working out. Him and Aller can end up being one of the best 1-2 punches in the country if Aller can continue to take that next step forward, as you mentioned. Penn State's fascinating, though, man, because it feels like, you know, James Franklin has done a really good job recruiting over the years. He's got that program back to where they're considered, you know, one of the top teams in the country year in and year out, but their ability to get over the hump is going to be massive. Another team that I'm eager to see whether or not they can get over the hump, they've got a transfer in there at quarterback, Riley Leonard at Notre Dame. What do you think about what that group has the ability to do this year in terms of making the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think absolutely that they have a chance to be a top 10 program in the country. I cannot say enough good things about Marcus Freeman and the man that he is and what he has in his program. The players that come out of there every year, you know what you're going to get, similarly to what you got out of the Michigan kids when Harbaugh was there and what you're going to get when Sherrone Moore is now there taking over. But if you look at this Notre Dame roster to where Riley Leonard's now taking over for second straight year, they've gone the transfer route, of course, with Sam Hartman, who's, of course, now with the Commanders as a UDFA. He'll get an opportunity there in camp. But Chris Mitchell comes in as an underrated receiver out of FIU as a in the transfer portal. They got some guys up front now. It's not Joe Walt, and it's not Blake Fisher on that bookend tackle for Notre Dame this year. So there's going to be some moving pieces there, but I really like what they have on defense. They brought in R.J. Oben from Duke in the ACC, really had a successful career there down in Durham for the Blue Devils. Excited to see him on defense. And then also, of course, Benjamin Morrison at corner, who has the potential to be a top-10 pick in this year's class
for
as well. So I love the pieces on either side of the ball for Notre Dame. And again, Marcus Freeman, a head coach, as long as you got him running the show, you're going to have a shot.
Talking all things college football right now on the guest hotline with our pal Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at _RyanFowler_. It's hard to bring up Penn State and then not bring up Ohio State. Their quarterback situation, I think, is super interesting. How quickly, let me phrase it to you like this. We know they got a star-studded roster. We know it's title or bust for that group. Any chance, or what happens, I guess, what would have to happen for us to see Julian Saiyan at some point in this year?
Yeah, I mean, Will Howard, right, coming over from Kansas State, it did not flat out work last year with Kyle McCord. It was ugly to watch, as you know, Linnell, watching Kyle sling the ball. Now, wish the best for him, of course, at Syracuse. But if it doesn't go well early, you know the expectations and the ceiling that Ohio State fans expect, and also Ryan Day, to where now, look, they haven't beat Michigan in multiple years. That's always going to hang over their head until they get that done. There is no more figure on the outside where you can just throw it up to a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, I will say this, Linnell, on that freshman, Jeremiah Smith looks like an
absolute
stud, 100%. And you can already pencil him in lightly to the 2027 first round should he declare as a true junior. But if they're not able to get things going through the air and round out that offense, because they did bring in Quinshon Judkins, who I think is one of the premier backs in football, right alongside his teammate Trevion Henderson, the Ollie Gordons of the world, Oklahoma State. But if they're not able to get, again, the aerial attack going early and often to where they can lean on Will Howard in this new offense for him, then I think maybe they can run into some issues.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. Aiden Saiyan, the older brother of Julian Saiyan, I got to call some of his games as he played for the Penn Quakers doing some Georgetown games. It runs in the family. I'm super excited to see when this young man will ultimately be able to take the field out in Columbus. New faces and new places is going to be the story here for this college football season. And no other new face, no other bigger new face in a new place than Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. What do you expect out of Tuscaloosa here in year one? And then the one thing we can say under Nick Saban is when the Tide would take a loss, they would come back guns a-blazing in the next game. How do you think Alabama is going to fare, and how do you think they handle adversity under Coach DeBoer?
Yeah, look, Kalen DeBoer, I mean, coming in for really a legend, of course, in football as we know it with Nick Saban. The expectations, as it is every single year down there in Tuscaloosa, is as a national championship. Bottom line, doesn't matter who's coaching, doesn't matter who's playing, offensive or defensively. And what I see with Jalen Milroe, not only just we look at him, and a lot of people will classify him as more of an athlete right now or just a passer more than a quarterback. I don't think so. I think he's someone that can lead an offense, Linnell, inside of structure, and then also provide that creativity to expand this offense. And I think what we saw with Kalen DeBoer, what he did with Michael Penix as a thrower of the football. Now, Penix and Milroe, very different skill sets, but Penix at times, and people forget, Linnell, is that when at Indiana, there were times where he looked unplayable for the Hoosiers.
Yeah,
so Milroe already had a ton of success at Alabama, down there in the SEC, got some new transfers in the building, excited them to deploy a guy like Jeremy Bernard, who came over from Washington, that versatile piece in this offense that really Alabama hasn't had, and they haven't had a deep receiver for the last couple of years. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think the expectations are going to be yearly through the roof for them. Defensively, I think it's going to lead the charge. They can keep teams under 25 a game. I think they're going to have a lot of chances to not only just win a lot of games in the SEC, Linnell, because of their talent fundamentally, but also punch their ticket to the CFP.
Speaking of that CFP, because it is now expanded to this 12-team format, there's going to be some Cinderella opportunities. Is there one program out there that a lot of people aren't talking about that you think could ultimately crack that 12-team format?
I'll say this, Linnell. I really like what Oklahoma State has. Now, offensively, defensively.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
You tapped in to the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham out of Washington, D.C., talking all things college football as we get geared up for a massive, massive college football season that's littered with change from coaches, heavy activity in the transfer portal, and now a 12-team college football playoff. I cannot wait. It is going to make every regular season game count that much more, knowing that there's going to be a couple of Cinderella teams this year that get in that we don't necessarily expect to see as we sit here right now. To continue to talk all things college football, we go out to the guest hotline. We find my pal Ryan Fowler, NFL and college football analyst for Bleacher Report, as well as the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at underscore Ryan Fowler underscore. Ryan, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Linnell, how you doing, man? Always appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed, my man. We were going through some of the top storylines in college football as we get geared up here for this upcoming season. So we got a lot to cover here in a little bit of time. The first thing I want to ask you is sort of a big picture question here. In terms of the landscape of college football, we saw a couple of coaches, one, Nick Saban, retire, and two, Harbaugh go to the pros. How do you think the transfer portal and NIL is impacting college coaches and their desire to do the job, quite frankly, Ryan?
Look, this transfer portal, it seems like every single year, Linnell, when we look at this thing, it's just taking over not just football, but college sports as a whole. And really, it's even put this humongous shadow over a lot of the recruiting classes now that the teams in the past worked so darn hard for to get these three, four, right, five stars in the building, to where these guys go overlooked, to where now you're just looking at a guy like Caleb Downs going from Bama to Ohio State, and a Dylan Gabriel going now to Oregon to lead the Chargers up there in the Pacific Northwest. NIL is just an unbelievable, just how it's really progressed here these last, I would say, 2-3 years specifically, to where, yeah, the concentration of talent, I don't want to say it's as concentrated as you kind of see in sometimes with basketball or even what's happened sometimes in baseball, specifically with the talent in the SEC. Talent is spread out. But what I like so much about this NIL opportunities as well is when I look at players like Luther Burden at Missouri, a kid from St. Louis, five-star, right, had every opportunity to go elsewhere this offseason and stayed there. Or you look out at Arizona with quarterback Noah Fifita, wide receiver Tatora McMillan, that's going to be, yeah, probably a top 15 pick in the upcoming class. I think as much as we talk about the portal and guys bouncing from places to places and coaches having to rely on a lot of these NIL sponsors and volunteers to come in and donate to help facilitate rosters at the end of the day, you look at these players and the opportunities to almost concentrate talent, which is just really kind of puts these super teams almost together sometimes, yeah, to where you're going to have now 12 teams in the college football playoff, where these just any day, like we know, Linnell, anybody can beat anybody. And I, right, think NIL has added this little layer to college football as a whole, that's just really fun to keep an eye on every single year because guys are just bouncing from spot to spot.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think it makes you have to be even better as a high school recruit to get noticed during your freshman season based on the portal and all these NIL deals that are being thrown around to get guys to leave. You mentioned the Oregon Ducks. We had a caller a few moments ago before you joined us that was on my ass, Ryan, about how I'm not giving Oregon enough love. Now, Dylan Gabriel obviously comes over, and the thought process is he's going to pick up where Bo Nix left off last year, and this Oregon offense should continue to be one of the tops in the country. My big question is in the trenches, and not on the offensive side of the football, because we know they got two bookend tackles, but when you look at this Oregon defense, do they have enough to compete in their conference?
Yeah, I'll say this. I'm right there with you. But now I think offensively they are going to score points. I think Dylan Gabriel, just like Bo Nix was when he came in from Auburn, is going to be that mature signal caller. And the pairing of guys like Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson is going to be really fun to watch. But defensively, you know, you lose guys like Evan Williams and you lose guys like Brandon Dorlis. Now, I will say this, and that one of my favorite players in this upcoming class already, Linnell, I'm going to talk a lot about, and I know we'll talk about him here in the future, is Jabbar Muhammad coming over from Washington at the corner spot, who's absolutely sensational. But they have a lot of new faces and a lot of new spots with transfers, Derek Harmon, Jamari Caldwell up front, Kobe Savage coming in as a transfer as well as a free safety spot, along with Jabbar in the secondary. When you have a lot of new faces and a lot of new places, and sometimes we know defense can pick it up faster than the offensive side of the ball just from a complication perspective and just allow athletes to fly around. And Dan Lanning's going to get them flying around, of course. But at the end of the day, when you just have so many new pieces, I think it may take a couple of weeks or a month or two
for sure
to really see the ceiling of this Oregon Ducks defense.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. A lot of new faces, particularly in that secondary, but I don't think it's a lack of talent. As you mentioned, it just is going to be about continuity and how quickly they're able to hit the ground running on that side of the football. The one team, Ryan, that I immediately look at when I think about who this 12-team playoff benefits the most, I go right up to Happy Valley, not too far up the road, and think about James Franklin. And can this be the year that Penn State is able to break through? They've never been higher than number 7 in the final AP top 25 poll under James Franklin, and they've never qualified for the college football playoff. Does that change this year? If it does, why?
I'll say this. I think it starts with Drew Aller, and I know that is an easy thing to say, but for me, I think within the whole industry, Linnell, I'm very high on Drew Aller and what he can be if everything comes to fruition. Now, of course, potential is a very scary word, and it can get coaches fired at the college level and the NFL level. But who this kid is, that's a former 5-star, a guy that lives inside the pocket, to where he had a lot of flashes last year. I specifically think about that West Virginia game where his arm talent, I'm not sure fundamentally, Linnell, there is a more talented quarterback fundamentally in the country. And I really do like Sanders. I really do like Milroe and Carson Beck. But Drew Aller is a very, very talented kid under center. And I think if they are to qualify for the CFP, if they are to raise expectations more so than just handing off the ball to guys like Nick Singleton and Katron Allen, it's going to be because of a guy like Drew Aller targeting some of these new faces on the outside, specifically headlined by Ohio State transfer and Julian Fleming.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that tandem ends up working out. Him and Aller can end up being one of the best 1-2 punches in the country if Aller can continue to take that next step forward. As you mentioned, Penn State's fascinating though, man, because it feels like, you know, James Franklin has done a really good job recruiting over the years. He's got that program back to where they're considered, you know, one of the top teams in the country year in and year out, but their ability to get over the hump is going to be massive. Another team that I'm eager to see whether or not they can get over the hump, they've got a transfer in there at quarterback, Riley Leonard at Notre Dame. What do you think about what that group has the ability to do this year in terms of making the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think absolutely that they have a chance to be a top 10 program in the country. I cannot say enough good things about Marcus Freeman and the man that he is and what he has in his program. The players that come out of there every year, you know what you're going to get, similarly to what you got out of the Michigan kids when Harbaugh was there, and what you're going to get when Sherrone Moore is now there taking over. But if you look at this Notre Dame roster to where Riley Leonard's now taken over for second straight year, they've gone the transfer route, of course, with Sam Hartman, who's, of course, now with the Commanders as a UDFA. He'll get an opportunity there in camp. But Chris Mitchell comes in as an underrated receiver out of FIU as a in the transfer portal. They got some guys up front now. It's not Joe Walt, and it's not Blake Fisher on that bookend tackle for Notre Dame this year. So there's going to be some moving pieces there. But I really like what they have on defense. They brought in R.J. Oben from Duke in the ACC. Really had a successful career there down in Durham for the Blue Devils. Excited to see him on defense. And then also, of course, Benjamin Morrison at corner, who has the potential to be a top 10 pick in this year's class
for
as
sure.
well. So I love the pieces on either side of the ball for Notre Dame. And again, Marcus Freeman, a head coach, as long as you got him running the show, you're going to have a shot.
Talking all things college football right now on the guest hotline with our pal Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at _Ryan Fowler_. It's hard to bring up Penn State and then not bring up Ohio State. Their quarterback situation, I think, is super interesting. How quickly, let me phrase it to you like this. We know they got a star-studded roster. We know it's title or bust for that group. Any chance, or what happens, I guess, what would have to happen for us to see Julian Sain at some point in this year?
Yeah, I mean, Will Howard, right, coming over from Kansas State, it did not flat out work last year with Kyle McCord. It was ugly to watch, as you know, Linnell, watching Kyle sling the ball. Now, wish the best for him, of course, at Syracuse. But if it doesn't go well early, you know the expectations and the ceiling that Ohio State fans expect, and also Ryan Day, to where now, look, they haven't beat Michigan in multiple years. That's always going to hang over their head until they get that done. There is no more figure on the outside where you can just throw it up to a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, I will say this, Linnell, on that freshman, Jeremiah Smith looks like an absolute stud, 100%. And you can already pencil him in lightly to the 2027 first round should he declare as a true junior. But if they're not able to get things going through the air and round out that offense, because they did bring in Quinshon Judkins, who I think is one of the premier backs in football, right alongside his teammate Trevion Henderson, the Ollie Gordons of the world, Oklahoma State. But if they're not able to get, again, the aerial attack going early and often to where they can lean on Will Howard in this new offense for him, then I think maybe they can run into some issues.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. Aiden Sain, the older brother of Julian Sain, I got to call some of his games as he played for the Penn Quakers doing some Georgetown games. It runs in the family. I'm super excited to see when this young man will ultimately be able to take the field out in Columbus. New faces in new places is going to be the story here for this college football season. And no other new face, no other bigger new face in a new place than Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. What do you expect out of Tuscaloosa here in year one? And then the one thing we can say under Nick Saban is when the Tide would take a loss, they would come back guns a-blazing in the next game. How do you think Alabama is going to fare, and how do you think they handle adversity under Coach DeBoer?
Yeah, look, Kalen DeBoer, I mean, coming in for really a legend, of course, in football as we know it with Nick Saban. The expectations, as it is every single year down there in Tuscaloosa, is as a national championship. Bottom line, doesn't matter who's coaching, doesn't matter who's playing, offensive or defensively. And what I see with Jalen Milroe, not only just we look at him, and a lot of people will classify him as more of an athlete right now or just a passer more than a quarterback. I don't think so. I think he's someone that can lead an offense, Linnell, inside of structure, and then also provide that creativity to expand this offense. And I think what we saw with Kalen DeBoer, what he did with Michael Penix as a thrower of the football. Now, Penix and Milroe, very different skill sets, but Penix at times, and people forget, Linnell, is that when Indiana, there were times where he looked unplayable for the Hoosiers.
Yeah,
so Milroe already had a ton of success at Alabama, down there in the SEC, got some new transfers in the building, excited them to deploy a guy like Jeremy Bernard, who came over from Washington, that versatile piece in this offense that really Alabama hasn't had, and they haven't had a deep receiving core last couple of years. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think the expectations are going to be yearly through the roof for them. Defensively, I think it's going to lead the charge. They can keep teams under 25 a game. I think they have a lot of chances to not only just win a lot of games in the SEC, Linnell, because of their talent fundamentally, but also punch their ticket to the CFP.
Speaking of that CFP, because it is now expanded to this 12-team format, there's going to be some Cinderella opportunities. Is there one program out there that a lot of people aren't talking about that you think could ultimately crack that 12-team format?
I'll say this. Linnell, I really like what Oklahoma State has. Now, offensively, defensively, Ollie Gordon is going to lead the charge for them. They bring back a lot of veteran receivers, Brennan Presley, Rashad Owens, extremely productive. But defensively, they've always been top tier in the Big 12. And that's been the last 5-6 years where they had Malcolm Rodriguez in years past running around in the middle of that defense. They got guys like Colin Oliver this year, and they also have a kid by the name of Nick Martin, who I am going to talk about a bunch. You're going to hear me. You're going to get tired of me. People that follow me there on Twitter, hear me on other shows, you're going to get tired of me talking about Nick Martin this year. I think, Linnell, he's probably one of the most underrated players in all of college football.
Wow.
I mean, this kid at 6 foot, 205 pounds, 140 tackles last year in his first season as a starter for the Oklahoma State Cowboys. He hawked down Xavier Worthy 5 yards behind him at full speed in the Big 12 championship game, and not a lot of guys can do that. So it just kind of paints a picture for you as far as the types of athletes that are going to be competing for Oklahoma State on either side of the ball. And I wouldn't be shocked when the first AP 25 comes out there in the top 20 teams.
Yeah, they're fascinating. It's a veteran-led team. They've got one of the most experienced offensive lines in college football history. I think it's something like 4 or 5 redshirt super seniors. So they're going to be pretty good on the offensive side of the football. We know what Ollie Gordon can bring to the table as well. It's going to be a fascinating season, and I think one of the big storylines from last year was how was Deion going to handle year one at Colorado with the Buffaloes. They only win 4 games last year, and they really struggled offensively down the stretch. In year two, after being active in the portal and bringing in Jordan Seaton as a guy that's going to be a former number one overall pick at left tackle, what do you think about what Colorado can be this year, and can they get from 4 wins to maybe 7 or 8?
Absolutely, I do. And I think it just goes beyond what they've done in the portal, right? 7 new faces. You mentioned Jordan Seaton, who's now going to protect Shadur's blind side. Shadur obviously has a ceiling as a potential top 5 pick in this class. I don't need to go on about Travis Hunter, what he can be on either side of the ball. We will see as far as do NFL teams prioritize him on offense or defense, or do they want to do a little bit of both? We'll see down the line. But overall, I think this Colorado team moving to the Big 12, to where the Pac-12 was by far, people don't want to hear it in the SEC, but it was the most talented conference in college football last year. And you saw that really turn up, of course, with Washington playing Michigan in the college football national championship. But there's a lot of new faces, a lot of new places, but I have every single confidence in the world towards what Deion's going to do out there in Colorado and what he expects from his players. And I think you look at how unfortunate for Cormani McClain as far as how his career went at Colorado. But that just shows you, Deion, as far as if you're not coming to show up or coming up to work, we don't want you in our program. And I think that's the type of attitude and mantra that you have to establish every single day. And I think that's what Deion's established there in Colorado moving into year two. I'm excited to see him. I hope he exceeds expectations. And wouldn't it be great, Linnell, to see them in the top 12?
Oh,
potentially
don't do it! I was about to say, Ryan, that I know everyone around the college football landscape would love it. I know the TV networks would love it. It would be a hell of a story in year number two. Realistically speaking, though, like, how likely do you think that is? Now, obviously, it's kind of a two-parter here for you. Think about how damn good Shadur was last year behind one of the worst offensive lines in college football. They've revamped that group. Where do you think his expectations should be, and should he be on that short list of Heisman Trophy contenders?
I absolutely think he should. I mean, they also brought in Will Shepard from Vanderbilt. He was one of the more underrated receivers in the country last year. I think he's going to absolutely thrive alongside Travis Hunter, alongside a guy like Jimmy Horn Jr. So they have the pieces there, even though they lost one of their running backs in the transfer portal and Dylan Edwards as well. But I mean, I look at the schedule for Colorado. I mean, opening up against Nebraska, Colorado State, Baylor, UCF, Kansas State. I mean, that's right there. Kansas State's going to be tough. Nebraska's got some pieces. Of course, Dylan Raiola, number two quarterback recruit in the country. But you look at this thing, and the ceiling for this team overall and for Shadur Sanders is a Heisman Trophy, a potential top 2 or 3 pick in next year's draft. And if he leads this team to a CFP, Who knows?
Yeah, it could be fascinating. Speaking of the quarterback position, feels like every year, Ryan, there is a guy that maybe we aren't talking about in the month of July and August, but then come February, when it's time to get ready for the combine, NFL folks are high on him. Who do you think that sleeper quarterback is going to be this year that's going to be rising up draft boards based on his play this year?
I'll tell you a name to watch, absolutely, and that's Max Brosmer at the University of Minnesota, transfer in from New Hampshire, and I think he's somebody that just, I'm not expecting him to be a top 60 or 70 pick by any means, but now having the spotlight of the Big Ten on him, and Minnesota I think is going to sling it around a little bit more than they have in the past. Now, they don't have a Rashad Bateman or anything like that on the outside. Right. Daniel Jackson's a good receiver, I think, to keep an eye on that, absolutely, as and he's had some or defense, or do they want to do a little bit of both? We'll see down the line. But overall, I think this Colorado team moving to the Big 12, to where the Pac-12 was by far, people don't want to hear it in the SEC, but it was the most talented conference in college football last year, and you saw that really turn up, of course, with Washington playing Michigan in the college football national championship. But there's a lot of new faces, a lot of new places, but I have every single confidence in the world towards what Deion's going to do out there in Colorado and what he expects from his players. And, and I think you look at how unfortunate for Cormani McClain as far as how this, his career went at Colorado. But that just shows you as Deion, as far as if you're not coming to show up or coming up to work, we don't want you in our program. And I think that's the type of attitude and mantra that you have to establish every single day. And I think that's what Deion's established there in Colorado moving into year two. I'm excited to see him. I hope he exceeds expectations. And wouldn't it be great, Linnell, to see them in the top 12?
Oh,
potentially
don't do
BFE?
It! I was about to say, Ryan, I know everyone around the college football landscape would love it. I know the TV networks would love it. It would be a hell of a story in year number two. Realistically speaking, though, like, how likely do you think that is? Now, obviously, it's kind of a two-parter here for you. Think about how damn good Shador was last year behind one of the worst offensive lines in college football. They've revamped that group. Where do you think his expectations should be, and should he be on that short list of Heisman Trophy contenders?
I absolutely think he should. I mean, they also brought in Will Shepard from Vanderbilt. He was one of the more underrated receivers in the country last year. I think he's going to absolutely thrive alongside Travis Hunter, alongside a guy like Jimmy Horn Jr. So they have the pieces there, even though they lost one of their running backs in the transfer portal and Dylan Edwards as well. But I mean, I look at the schedule for Colorado. I mean, opening up against Nebraska, Colorado State, Baylor, UCF, Kansas State. I mean, that's right there. Kansas State's going to be tough. Nebraska's got some pieces. Of course, Dylan Raiola, number two, quarterback recruit in the country. But you look at this thing, and the ceiling for this team overall and for Shador Sanders is a Heisman Trophy, a potential top two or three pick in next year's draft. And if he leads this team to a CFP, Who knows?
Yeah, it could be fascinating. Speaking of the quarterback position, feels like every year, Ryan, there is a guy that maybe we aren't talking about in the month of July and August, but then come February, when it's time to get ready for the combine, NFL folks are high on him. Who do you think that sleeper quarterback is going to be this year that's going to be rising up draft boards based on his play this year?
I'll tell you a name to watch, absolutely. Okay. And that's Max Brosmer at the University of Minnesota, transfer in from New Hampshire. And I think he's somebody that just, I'm not expecting him to be a top 60 or 70 pick by any means, but now having the spotlight of the Big Ten on him, and Minnesota, I think, is going to sling it around a little bit more than they have in the past. Now, they don't have a Rashad Bateman or anything like that on the outside. Right. Daniel Jackson's a good receiver, I think, to keep an eye on that, absolutely. And he's had some draftable grades from some teams I've talked to early on this summer. But Max Brosmer, coming in from the CAA, it's like a big jump in competition. He's extremely athletic. He's 6'2". He looks the part as well. I just think to keep an eye on him as far as a riser. Again, not a first-rounder by any means now, but just keep an eye on him as we move into the winter months.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. The quarterback position, always fascinating when it comes to the prospects of the NFL. We had 6 first-rounders last year in the NFL draft, Ryan. Do you have a number as we sit here in July as how many guys you expect to go in that first round?
Right now, I'd probably go, man, because I really do like Drew Aller. I think his ceiling is middle to the later portions of the first round.
Yeah,
I'll go Shador Sanders. I'll go Carson Beck. I think Connor Wegman as well is a guy that's going to rise in this process. Huh. So I'll throw him in there. I'll lock in 3 right now for me. Okay. I'll go 3 right now to be safe.
And one guy that I've seen in mock drafts here recently that is being looked at as a first rounder, obviously this year is going to be huge with that. What does Jalen Milroe have to do this year to be a first round pick?
He's got to develop as a passer. And I think he has all the talent in the world. I think, now, I'm not going to compare him to a guy like Joe Milton, to where Joe's arm talent was sensational, just kind of reeling it in. But I just need a little bit more touch from Jalen Milroe. The progression over the middle of the field within the numbers, sometimes he would rush, his feet would not marry with his eyes, and his arm would get lazy. He has all the talent in the world. As an athlete, there may be not many more better athletes in the country either side of the ball than what Jalen Milroe could be. So I think, Linnell, him working just as a passer inside the pocket, just slowing down the game a little bit, moving the chains, taking care of the football, and then allowing him to be an athlete, don't turn into a robot, I think this is going to be the biggest thing for Jalen.
For sure. Ryan, always appreciate you giving us some of your time, my friend. Get ready. Training camp coming up in the NFL and then college football here before we know it, my friend. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Always appreciate you, Linnell.
Always good catching up with my guy Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. That is going to do it, though, for this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on Twitter, it's at @NELL_BTP. The Infinity Sports Network up next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.